At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is like a Mad Libs headline. A Florida man is accused of mooning and then chucking soda at a group of teenagers inside of a McDonald's.
Which did he do first?
Or as my grandmother would have said, a McDonald's. The man, William Heath, is his name. He doused two teenagers in soda and then mooned them. Well, why did he do that? We don't know. I mean, why does anybody do the crazy stuff that they do? Because they're crazy. He thought they were staring at him. He wandered into the McDonald's in Gainesboro, Florida, and became visibly agitated when he saw a bunch of teenagers looking at him, probably because he was acting like a freak, but, you know, we're just going to skip over that part. He stormed over to the teens who were seated in the dining area and started an argument. And then he threw soda at them, Dr. Pepper, in case you wanted to know, according to the police report. And then he flopped down in a bush near the sidewalk and pretended the group had ganged up on him and shoved him into the bushes. Then he turned around and dropped his pants and spanked himself and then caressed his left buttock cane.
Oh, boy.
Witnesses who watched the bizarre scene unfold told police they never saw the teenagers initiate any kind of physical contact. He just was shouting obscenities and sexual slurs at the minors, apparently. He was read his rights. He tried to defend himself by saying that they had upset and insulted him. You got insulted. Probably because you're a freak. And so then he went to the pokey. Tomorrow I'll talk about the guy who tried to hold up a Taco Bell with a large rock.
I think we did that one.
No, this is a different one. I kid you not.
What?
Hands to sky. I'll say, I don't know what's up, but man. Also, a guy stole a food truck. A Florida man was arrested because he stole a whole food truck. Well, wait, what kind of food truck was it? Let's look. That's very important to know. Ooh, it sounds like it was a Mexican food truck. That sounds really delicious. I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm just saying if you were going to steal one, that'd be the one you go for. That's some good stuff on that. All right, it was in Fort Myers. He's in trouble. He also stole two other food trucks before that third one. So apparently, let me pull this up. I saw this from a couple of people. My very good friend, David Limbaugh, whose brother, as you know, the late, great Rush Limbaugh, previously occupied this time slot. And people like Ryan Savadera and others. They had the White House Religious Liberties Commission yesterday morning. And apparently Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee was there and several other people, including this beauty pageant queen. I don't remember which one it was. It was like a finalist or had competed or something. I don't remember. Don't remind me because I don't care. I think she did a stint on Fox at one time. What's her name? Carrie Prejean?
Yeah.
Bowler? So she was defending Candace Owens and going after Seth Dillon. Now, I don't mind healthy debate, but what I dislike are people who try to act like bouncers for heaven and then proceed to behave in an ungodly manner. That's you know, kind of an issue. So what happened here is she decided to confront Seth Dillon and she was aggressively defending. I guess we'll start with what, cut nine? Let's start with cut nine. God help us if I have to play more than two sound bites of this mind-numbingly ridiculous brain slop. Go ahead with cut nine.
I would really appreciate it if you would stop calling Candace Owens an anti-Semite.
Well, she is.
She's not an anti-Semite. She just doesn't support Zionism, and that really has to stop.
She doesn't support Israel.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why you keep bringing her up.
She would die if she had to define her.
Well, because they're the two most famous anti-Semites.
There you go again. Yeah. Everyone's an anti-Semite. Everyone's an
anti-Semite. Just like everyone's a Zionist.
So if you don't support Zionism, you just said you're not an anti-Semite, yet Candace is an anti-Semite.
I think she goes far beyond not merely supporting Zionism. She calls Jews the synagogue of Satan. She denigrates anyone who... She often uses the word Zionist and the word Jew interchangeably. At one point, she slipped up and used the word Jew, and someone said, oh, you're not saying Zionist anymore? She's like, no, gloves are off.
So do you think Christ is king is anti-Semitic?
No, Christ is king.
Amen.
Christ is my king. He's the king of the universe.
So that's question. What
started the whole thing with her, right?
But, my thing with her. Christ, what I explained to her, and this is what she considered this deep betrayal, was simply that the phrase Christ is king has been, admittedly by many, co-opted for the purpose of identifying with a Groiper movement. Yep. And putting the Jews in their proper place to show them that they are other than. And they will use the phrase in very, very nasty context, like I cited in my statement earlier, Christ is king, you dirty Jew. I've had that told to me dozens of times. Do you think that that's anti-Semitic?
So first off, let's start with that phrase, because when was that? Like over the summer, over the past year? It wasn't used as a phrase of worship. It was blasphemy because people were not actually exalting God. They were using it as a cudgel against people they don't like because of their origin. And I shouldn't have to explain that to smart people. Smart people understand the difference. And so I do find it incredibly discourteous to act as though, when you say that you're not blaspheming while you're trying to put someone down because they're of you don't like their origin or you don't like their ideology, etc. I find that to be incredibly weird. I also don't think that you can't be heaven's bouncer if you make sex tapes. Let's just be very straightforward about that. And I'm not saying anything that hasn't been admitted to publicly by Miss Bowler, or whatever her name is, or widely reported on. I just think that, I don't know how she ended up on this panel. I think she was incredibly out of her depth on this panel. And I feel like all of us shouldn't be punished because the blonde version of Kardashian doesn't have the same business acumen and wasn't able to make the same thing happen for her based on her sex tape that Kim Kardashian was able to make for herself. So feel like that's, I just feel like if you're making sex tapes and you're taking nudie photos and all this other stuff, that maybe your judgment is on other issues isn't going to be great either. And I feel like that's incredibly fair to say, especially when you're trying to act like the bouncer for heaven. Right. And you're saying things like Christ is king, not because you're exalting Jesus Christ, but because you're trying to use it as a cudgel against to Jews. Right. That's the crazy thing for the people who read with photos, because I feel like this is a pattern of behavior. So I didn't really know anything about this chick. I had to look. I didn't know who she was or where she came from. But apparently she was like a beauty pageant person and she ended up getting it was Miss California USA. And she apparently got her title taken from her, looking at widely reported pieces here, because she apparently there were some intimate photos that came to light. And there she was accused of not doing fulfilling her contract by doing appearances. And so apparently that's why they took her title. And to save face, to me, it seems like she decided to make it out like they were punishing her because she was Christian or because she didn't support same-sex marriage. And that seemed to come up later. The stuff about not doing the appearances and the existence of these photos and, video, etc., that seemed like apparently that was like a character clause in their contract and they had an issue with that. That's not unusual, by the way, with like pageant stuff or even high profile roles, for your job. That's not unusual. So it seemed kind of like to save face, she had to make it about that. So, I mean, to me, at least when I'm reading everything. So and then she had to settle and all of this stuff and et cetera, et cetera. So I just feel like, I don't know, if you're like, you compromise yourself in certain ways, I just don't feel like I'm going to be trusting your judgment on other issues. That being said, I think she was very much out of her league here. And then she was saying that she doesn't want to be a slave state to Israel. She said this while wearing a Hamas pin. You can say, quote unquote, Palestine, but I don't use that phrase because Palestine is a made up word for an entity that's never existed. So she's wearing that's like the Gaza, or that's the Gaza flag with the United States flag, while she's tweeting about how she doesn't want to live or be operated by as a slave state by Israel. So she's, you know, promoting Hamas propaganda. She's wearing the Gazan flag. And then she does this. This is cut 10. Oh, gosh. This is the last one I'm going to play. I'm not going to rot your brain anymore. I promise. Go ahead.
One last follow-up. Since we've mentioned Israel a total of 17 times, are you willing to condemn what Israel has done in Gaza?
No, because I unilaterally reject that it's not a genocide. The only genocide ever carried out was on October 7th when Hamas tried killing every man, woman, and child they could possibly find. Hang on, let me respond.
70,000 innocent civilians killed?
Let me respond. So first of all, it's
Hamas propaganda.
And Kerry?
Just on the record.
As chair of the committee.
I think it's important we have this discussion.
I agree. I'm happy to answer.
And Kerry,
I think we'd be great friends.
Yeah, Kerry, I'm happy to answer.
Kerry, we have had the discussion. Good questions, good answers. This is a commission on religious liberty. If there's another commission on this issue,
the fact that Dan Patrick had to jump in.
To be fair, you brought it up.
Okay. Look, Ben Carson's sitting there. How did Kerry Prejean, whatever her name is, get on this panel? She is entirely out of her depth. She hijacked it to pull a stunt. I mean, she's sitting there with actual smart people, and the fact that Dan Patrick had to intervene, Dan Patrick, of all people, had to intervene. She looked like an idiot. And first off, you're citing Hamas numbers. Do you realize that Hamas told on themselves when they made an announcement about their contributions to their martyrs fund just this past month? Everyone's aware of that, I'm sure. The numbers were so wildly disproportionate to what has been promoted in the press from the same Hamas Ministry of Information. In fact, it's like a third of that, and they're all adult males fighting age. And they were donating to their martyrs fund. I just find it incredibly interesting that the person who's wearing the Gaza/Hamas flag has no questions as to why Hamas chose to do this in Gaza. And it has nothing to do with Zionism. And I'm really, really tired of very unintelligent people who can't define Zionism, accusing everyone who disagrees with them about hating to Jews of being Zionist. I find it vapid. It's boring. You need new material at this point. Not everyone who disagrees with you is a quote unquote Zionist. Not everyone who disagrees with you believes that Revelation is a prophecy that exists for today. Not everyone thinks that. Some people just think that these are people who have a right to live in the land that they have always lived in for thousands of years, which is supported by thousands of years of antiquity in both Christian history, Jewish history, and even Islamic history. So that's really, you know, the nature of a lot of people's viewpoints on this. But what people like Kerry Prejean or whatever her name is, whatever, what people like that do is they, oh, well, you're Zionist. They immediately use a leftist tactic and invoke a logical fallacy of trying to say, well, you're guilt by association. Ergo decido, you cannot be taken seriously because we are putting you in this category of people as a way to neutralize your opinion. That makes it easier for them to do instead of having to have the wits to push back specifically on your viewpoint. And this is a tactic that I see all the time from the left, the same left that practices the same identity politics that I see being practiced here on that so-called religious panel that was unfortunately hijacked by a beauty queen who made a sex tape and wants to get attention for herself. And if you dislike my opinion on that, then I suggest you take issue with the widely reported to and admitted fact that my opinion is based on. You're welcome. Now, furthermore, with this, the idea of, I mean, Ben Carson there, you had a lot of really smart people there that I would have really rather heard from. I don't even understand how this erupts into what it is. How are you at a religious panel and you're wearing the Hamas Gaza flag while you're simultaneously declaring that you don't want to live as a slave state under Israel? And then what's more is there was the tweet storm where she was accusing everyone who disagreed with her of somehow infringing upon her First Amendment right. What? That doesn't even make any sense. I responded to that. I think it was last night. I just don't quite understand it. She apparently is accused, anybody who disagrees with her, apparently she said it's an anti-American, anti-Christian rhetoric. And she said Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson are expressing their First Amendment right to free speech. And they have that right, even if you don't agree with them. My thought was, well, you don't get to restrict our First Amendment right to call out the absolutely idiotic garbage that they say. And now, like a leftist, she's trying to argue that people are trying to get her fired. I have no idea. She's like, I am not going to be forced to embrace Zionism. Well, no one was asking you to do that. And she says, I'm not a slave to a foreign nation, while she wears the Hamas Gazan flag pin. I mean, the lack of self-awareness is truly stunning. But again, when people like compromise themselves by making sex tapes, I really do judge their, I question their judgment on other issues. But no one's forcing, I mean, name names. Who's trying to force anybody to embrace Zionism? That's such a leftist tactic. It's leftist ungodly behavior, because you're bearing false witness while you're also trying to act as the bouncer for heaven. That doesn't work. And real Christians who actually try to really practice their faith instead of just use it for clicks are noticing this. I was talking with Colin Plume over at Noble Gold Investments, and we were discussing how no one really knows what 2026 is going to bring. Elections, markets, wars. But one thing we do know, gold and silver have outlasted every empire. And that's why gold keeps coming up as a steady, reliable option. Every crash, every currency. And at the end of the day, it's about that peace of mind. Having a little gold in your strategy can make those wild market swings a lot easier to live with. Because real wealth isn't flashy. It's being prepared and protecting what you've already built for yourself, your kids, and your grandkids. Create a more stable financial future. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana and download their free gold and silver guide. And when you open a qualified account, you'll receive a complimentary 3-ounce silver virtue coin. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. Having a little gold in your strategy can make those wild market swings a lot easier to live with. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man is accused of selling pizzas after hours at Little Caesars and then just keeping all the money. I actually saw a commercial for them the other day. You know they're doing thicker crust now?
Yeah.
It was always thin crust. Now they're doing like what they said was Detroit style. And I was like, does that mean there's bullets in it? Just wondering. He started selling pizza hours. And this is in North Carolina. 41-year-old John Hackett. He broke in. It was in connection with a break-in. And they found out that he was selling this stuff after hours. And just... yeah, making pizzas and keeping all the money or dough for himself. I was trying not to make that joke. Discord is going to age lock your account next month, and you'll have to submit an ID or accept a face scan. This was 4 months after they had a third-party data breach. Yeah, do we really trust Discord? Do we trust them? You trust that? Because I don't. They're going to age lock your account now. They said, we'll find other ways to bring users back. I don't know if that's going to work that well for them, but okay. I mean, you can try it and see what will happen. A toddler climbed into a claw machine at Soccer Dome in Webster Groves. This is actually in a neighborhood I used to live right next to when we first got married. A little boy got stuck inside a claw machine, and it happened at the Veta Sports Soccer Dome in Webster Groves. According to the two-year-old's family, I mean, they were watching his brother play soccer. There's photos. And he got into the machine somehow. That's actually pretty smart. Get in the machine. He was in there for like 20 minutes. Didn't seem fazed. They had to call firefighters.
How does this still keep happening, though? Like, wouldn't you think they'd have some sort of improvement on the machine that doesn't allow toddlers to get in
there? This just makes me want to get somebody's toddler and get stuff out of the machine without having to play the game. That's how I'm looking at this. Like, you would think,
like, recruit or hire a toddler?
Yeah. Like the cartel does with kids at the border. You know what I'm saying? Just like, but like, have them get in the machine to get some of the loot that's in there. Because, you know, them claws, they let things go. If you've ever played one, you know that as soon as you get something, it lets it go right as you're, it does it on purpose. It's all on purpose. But yeah, that's like, every year there's a couple of those stories that happen, and I just never can figure out how they do that. Let's see. Musk is clipping his Mars settlement ambition. I don't think he's clipping it. I think he's just prioritizing going to the moon first because it's probably more doable at this point in time, you know, but the media struggles to understand nuance. So he's folk. I don't even know why this is a story. Oh my gosh. Mass piranha attack is something I never thought I would see. This is like what you would see on Bugs Bunny. 40 swimmers were injured in a horrifying mass piranha attack as lifeguards ordered an emergency evacuation. One victim lost a finger. Oh my gosh, there's blood everywhere. I'm not kidding you. It was in the city of Victoria in Argentina. And local health authorities, they said that they had to treat tons of people over the weekend, kids and adults. They had bite wounds. And these fish, like, there's a, oh, this is a horrible photo. Somebody lost a toe. Somebody lost a whole toe. Somebody had a chunk taken out of the bottom of their foot. Someone had a chunk taken out of their calf. That's insane. 46 people were injured. And they said most victims had serious injuries. All 46 cases were serious, they said. They went through, like, in the first minute, 3 first aid kits. That's crazy. And then one of the victims had to have an amputation of another finger. So basically 2 fingers were bitten off. That's crazy. I mean, it's like Looney Tunes. That's horrible. Stick with us. We got more in store.
I've got Dan Morgan here on the pod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Dan Morgan. I'm an attorney and a managing partner at Morgan & Morgan, which is America's largest injury law firm.
That's pretty awesome. I think I saw a billboard of yours recently that said $20 billion. $20 billion is an insane number.
Yeah, $20 billion recovered. It's actually, I think, somewhere north, probably closer to 22, 23 after this year. And each year we get bigger and badder and our army grows. So the number will hopefully keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Awesome. So how does someone get in contact with Morgan & Morgan? What would I do if I got into an accident?
Probably the easiest way is dialing #law. That's #529 from your cell phone. We are always open. Our call center is always waiting to take your call. 24/7, 365.
Wow. Dan Morgan from Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Thanks for coming by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
Put all your gear on that you carry and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
You're reticle. Whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. And you can also find us YouTube, Facebook, and Substack. Don't forget to find us there. Okay, so I'm not doing wall-to-wall Guthrie stuff because I think there's a little too much saturation happening. I mean, it's sad, but I'm not going to. If you want to watch wall-to-wall coverage of it, there's, you know, NBC and ABC and all that stuff. But one thing that struck me, I thought this was kind of like a weird thing for the media to focus on. The sheriff, the Arizona sheriff, who is apparently spearheading the investigation of that woman, the Savannah Guthrie's mom, they said that he was spotted sitting courtside at a University of Arizona basketball game Saturday night. And like they were shaming him for it. I'm confused. Why why would they shame him for that? And it's all like, it's everywhere. Oh my gosh, he's, can you believe he's at the bat? And people were, there were like pictures of him. The press had photos of them, of him there. And they said, oh, he's spotted at the basketball game. And he's got, and now there's backlash. Because so the press wrote all about it. And now they have a ton of backlash. There's a ton of backlash on this guy. Chris Nanos, he's facing criticism because he was spotted attending a local sporting event on Saturday night. What is, I'm confused. Is that, is this just, it, let me try to understand this. Is the standard operating procedure that you just stay on the case until there's resolution? No sleeping, no eating, no doing anything? I'm curious. Is he not allowed? Because it's his job, what he's doing. I'm just, I don't know. People were saying that they were very troubled that he was at the game. I am really confused by this.
The intimation is that somehow because he's at the game, the investigation's not happening. And there's no on-the-ground work going on to find Nancy. So I think that intimation is completely inaccurate.
Yeah. It seems like it. I mean, the guy can't, he's not allowed to, I mean, how, you know, I hope it doesn't, I hope they find her and all of that, but good night. Is he, it just feels like it's already a bad enough story. Why would anybody want to make it worse by throwing in drama that seems a little sensational on top of it? I feel like people are dealing with enough there, right?
Yeah.
Like they, you don't need to throw that on top of it. The guy went to a basketball game Saturday evening. Is he not allowed to do that? Is he allowed to go home? Is he allowed to take his uniform off? Is he allowed to, you know, go to the bathroom? I mean,
can you grab a bite to eat anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, that seems a little much. And there's a million articles about it. A million. I feel like the press created it, and then everybody reacted to it, and now the press is like, ooh, there's criticism. There's pushback. You did it. You did it. You made it an issue, and then you're reacting to it. I mean, I don't know. It's weird to me. I mean, have you looked at, I mean, it's everywhere. There is a million stories of this. Sheriff leading the Guthrie investigation, spotted at basketball game. I was spotted at a basketball game. That's what it is. Oh, he gets backlash for attending the game. Here's MSN. Sheriff in charge of Nancy Guthrie investigation is caught watching basketball game. An actual headline. He's caught watching the basketball game. Click that link, Kane. He's caught watching the basketball game.
Oh my God.
Sheriff slammed over basketball game scandal.
What scandal?
After new Nancy Guthrie update.
Wait.
Now it's a scandal.
Can we define scandal for a second? I mean, scandal? What's the scandal?
Yeah.
What is it?
I would think, because wasn't it Dupnik, the previous sheriff that was in this position? He was there when Giffords was shot in Tucson. And he's the guy who went out and blamed literally the Tea Party and incited violence against Tea Party activists that literally had to like worry for their lives. And then a guy threatened to kill the Trent Humphreys, the Tea Party leader, on live television. It was a CNN or ABC town hall. And they threatened, this guy threatened to kill him, murder him on live television. That's a scandal involving that office. Just being at a basketball game isn't. What in the world? Now, am I missing something? I mean, those who are experts in law enforcement, by all means, correct us if we are in error.
We are not in error.
But
nobody just, can work 24/7 without sleep or eating. Stop.
I mean, it feels like this guy's supposed to. I don't know. Like, I can't believe he's caught. Sheriff slammed over basketball. Basketball game gate. Oh, my gosh.
That,
it's like they're making it worse.
That's ridiculous. And the story you shared with me, which, by the way, is ridiculous, him being caught watching a basketball game. It says here, it's quoted someone saying, it seems odd given how emotional he was throughout the week during interviews, saying he believes that she's still alive and how desperate he is to find her. But think about that. The amount of stress and the amount of decompression you're going to need as an individual when you're going like that and that hard and emotionally invested in that, you need some time Yeah. You need some depression. You do. Decompression time.
You need to be able to unplug a little bit, and because fresh eyes and all, you know, you have to. I mean, that's a very stressful position. But I've just never, I don't think that I've ever seen anybody begrudge some, like, what if he had been out with his family eating dinner? Would it have been the same thing? Like, he wasn't the one who kidnapped her. He's trying to figure it out, but he also needs to be able to take a break. And I mean, how long are basketball games? They're not that long. Come on.
It's just,
yeah. It's just an evening.
God, I hope he didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, heaven forbid, no. I hope he doesn't enjoy anything in life right now. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, flippant over it, but holy wow.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this investigation involves more than Sheriff Nanos. There's more people involved in this investigation than Sheriff Nanos.
But it's all his fault. It just, I don't want to be mean because it's a very sensitive, it's a horrible thing, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but my gosh, like, back off the dude for a second. Kane, you see how many pages there are of this? Sheriff investigating Nancy Guthrie case faces backlash. He attended a basketball game. Now, when I see these headlines, my first thought is, oh my gosh, did he, was there a malpractice? Yeah. Did he do something wrong? Was he derelict in duty? No, he went to a basketball game. Every single one of these. I'm still scrolling through the headlines. Wow. It's blasted for attending basketball game.
Terrible optics.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what?
Yeah. On and on and on and on. Never ending headlines. They are going at this guy. The basketball game. Can we stop putting aside, just a totally different aspect of the story. Can we stop putting gate after things? I know it's like Watergate, but now somebody actually said basketball game gate. No, it's not. It's not a thing. That's not a thing. Stop doing that. It's unfortunate and I feel bad for them, but that's not right to, you know, slam this guy just because he was at a basketball game and everybody's taking pictures of him and they're acting like, you know, he's a criminal or that he's a bad sheriff or something. It's just, good heavens. Oh, now here's a headline for you. Oh boy. So Kurt Cobain. Oh, I know. You're like, wait, what? Nirvana? What? Kurt Cobain's death. Now the King County Medical Examiner at the time ruled it a suicide by Remington. Now an unofficial private sector team of forensic scientists put fresh eyes. So it's not an official. This is Daily Mail being sensational. It's not an official thing. But they're saying that it looks like a homicide to them. Here, cue the Courtney Love conspiracy theories again. Yeah. I mean, it was a shotgun, right?
Yes.
That's kind of difficult to do.
It is.
It can be done.
It's not impossible.
It can be done. But I don't know. I just, and now they're like, have videos. Why are we doing this?
I remember in the late 90s, I was doing rock radio at the time. And this was obviously one of the bigger stories, you know, on the alternative station I was working at. And I remember then thinking that this was kind of sus because him, you know, essentially ending his own life by the shotgun blast under the chin sort of thing. You don't have dental records. You don't have facial recognition. You got to rely on something like DNA or fingerprints to know if it was Kurt. And I never saw anything super definitive in that at that time. And we all just accepted that that's what happened. Kurt Cobain committed suicide.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not like falling all over myself to find the OJ's real killer. I'm just not there.
And yeah, the Courtney Love rumors were floating then too.
Oh, I just, out of all the things, why are those? But back to the sheriff though. That's, people need to just stop. Let the investigators do their job and don't begrudge the guy if he went to a basketball game for 2 hours. You know, they are allowed to go home. That is a job for them. Even though the nature of it makes it a little bit more sensitive, it's still a job for them. He is not on call 24/7. And especially when you are investigating a kidnapping like this, you're looking at all of this. You have to be able to take a break from it. I feel like people don't understand how important that is. You have to be able to walk away from that and take a break because it gets overwhelmingly heavy. And, you know, that kind of, you know, forensic investigators, you know, all of that, that's a serious thing. And I just, this is not, these people are not helping. It's sad. It's sad that it's at that. It's, I mean, it's sad that any of it happened, but man, the media going ham on this dude. Just unfortunate.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Every year, people make the same fitness goal, train harder. But most fail because recovery gets ignored, especially connective tissue that muscles depend on to grow. Frog Fuel was developed by Navy SEALs and perfected by a Stanford-trained scientist, delivering 15 grams of nano-hydrolyzed collagen protein that digests in just 15 minutes. It's science-backed and ready to drink. No mixing, no sugar, no junk. This year, don't just train harder, recover smarter. Go to frogfuel.com. That's frogfuel.com. Stay unbreakable.